Going back to the 1970s a bit, many African countries had the same GDP as Asian countries, after they were devastated by wars and exploited by colonialists. After only 30 to 40 years, Asia developed vigorously while Africa was left far behind. Up to today, many African countries, especially those in the sub-Saharan region, remain at the bottom of the poverty line. Below are the main reasons causing its deadlock. When it comes to natural resources, Africa is considered rich or extremely rich as it accounts for more than 30% of the world's mineral resources, including gold, diamonds, oil, and gemstones. For example, Tanzania is known for gold, Congo is known for copper, Namibia is known for uranium, and Botswana is known for diamonds. Yet nearly 50% of its population, especially those in the sub-Saharan region, live below the poverty line. First, Africa, to a certain extent, failed to catch up with the Green Revolution. Asian countries, on the other hand, was able to ensure food security through their investment in agricultural development. This is because once agriculture is secured, labor and capital surplus are utilized on industrial and service investments. Such investments become the backbone of an economy. Meanwhile, African countries, especially those in the sub-Saharan region, face critical challenges as it is situated right near the equator, resulting in a different land, climate, and weather conditions along with drought, flood, and lack of farming experience. In the farming mindset, cultivation becomes more difficult. In detail, small-scale farming mindset in small households threaten cultivation ability, leading to low productivity despite its gift from nature with rich soil and ideal weather conditions. Second, corruption, abuse of power, and inefficiency of competent authorities lead to ineffective resource management. Most of the revenues from the exploitation of resources fall into political elites, and national income is not properly distributed to the lower classes. Additionally, the trickle-down process is slow, and in some cases, it does not even happen. On the contrary, for Asian countries, thanks to redistribution policies through taxation and social welfare programs, economic development has supported the process of social development. Looking to northern European countries, thanks to government's ability to effectively manage resources, transparency, and accountability, revenue is used effectively. To explain a little, Nordic countries, before World War II, depended on agriculture and the poor. However, they sold their resources for the sake of the reconstruction process in Europe, and were not devastated severely by the war. Third, there are also influence of external factors. After some fieldwork, the World Bank and IMF proposed structural adjustment packages, investing in socioeconomic development, on the condition of designing a market economy and building democracy. Looking back at the effectiveness of these programs, however, it can be said that these programs failed miserably. The privatization of national companies with capital flooded from Western countries, resulting in local businesses' bankruptcy, rampant unemployment, and a shortage of output. Also, these programs employed a top-down approach, rather than bottom-up, which seeks solutions from the actual needs of people. Consequently, these programs quickly failed. All in all, having multiple tribes makes it more difficult to implement policies. Development programs that are carried out in other countries are more homogeneous. This, again, supports that racial diversity requires the design of demanding programs to be more centralized. These are the reasons why Africa, especially sub-Saharan countries, is still as poor as it is in the past.